Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We read from the Kitab of Fazail Amal, Virtues of the Glorious Quran. Hadith number 4. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, A person who reads the Quran well will be with those noble and pious angels who are scribes, writers, and the person who has difficulty in reading the Quran and has to struggle to learn it gets double the reward. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said, a person who reads the Quran well will be with those noble and pious angels who are scribes, who are writers, and the person who has difficulty in reading the Quran and has to struggle to learn it gets double the reward. The person who reads the Quran well is the one who memorizes the Quran well and reads it fluently. To be with the angels means that he will be with them on the day of Qiyamah. The person who has difficulty in reading the Quran will get double the reward, one for his reading and the other for his effort in reading the Quran, although he makes many mistakes. It does not mean that his reward will be more than a person who reads well. The reward that is mentioned for a good reader is far greater, so much so that he will be with the special angels. The explanation is that the hard work and effort in the reading of the Quran has a separate reward. Therefore, reading of the Quran should not be given up even though you may struggle to read. One who cannot memorize the Quran well and yet tries to learn it by heart gets double the reward. Similarly, one who has a love for memorizing the Quran and does not have the ability to do so, but does not give up his efforts, will be counted by Allah Ta'ala among the Huffaz on the day of Qiyamah. Hadith number 5. Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasad, jealousy is not permissible except for two people. One whom Allah Ta'ala blesses with the reading of the Quran and he remains busy reading it day and night. And the other who is given a lot of wealth by Allah and he spends it day and night. Again, Hazrat Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Hasad, jealousy is not permissible except for two people. One whom Allah Ta'ala blesses with the reading of the Quran and he remains busy reading it day and night. And the other who is given a lot of wealth by Allah and he spends it day and night. According to many ayat of the Quran and many ahadith, jealousy is a bad quality and is absolutely haram. This hadith, however, allows one to be jealous of two people. The ulama have explained this hadith in two ways. Firstly, jealousy here means envy. Jealousy here means envy, ghibta. There is a difference between jealousy and envy. Jealousy is a feeling that when you see someone who owns something that you like, you wish that he should lose it whether it comes to you or not. While envy is a feeling within yourself to also own a thing which someone else has and which you like. Since jealousy is haram, the ulama have explained the word jealousy here to mean envy. Ghibta is permissible in worldly things, example, a car, and good in dini matters. The second meaning is, if jealousy was permissible, it would have been permissible for the two people mentioned above. We read from the Kitab of Islamic Social Etiquette, and there are 7 points upon which social life is based. The first, we spoke about not causing harm to others. The second, fulfillment of rights. Number 3, foregoing of one's rights and forgiveness. And today, number 4, honoring and serving one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no youngster shows respect to an old man for his old age without Allah appointing someone to show respect to him when he becomes old. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beware of suspicion because it is the worst of lies. Do not eavesdrop. Do not spy on each other. Do not compete against each other. Do not be jealous of each other. Do not bear malice towards each other. And do not turn away from each other. O servants of Allah, remain like brothers as He commanded you. A Muslim is a brother to another Muslim. He neither wrongs him, abandons helping him, nor belittles him. Piety is here. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pointed to his chest 3 times. Piety is here, piety is here. It is sufficient as a sin to despise one's Muslim brother. Everything belonging to a Muslim is unlawful to another Muslim, his life, his honor, and his wealth. Allah does not look at your bodies nor your appearances. Rather, He looks at your hearts and your deeds. We continue with the etiquettes of training children. Yesterday we read half, inshallah, we complete it today. Number 12, do not punish children in anger. Either remove them from your presence when you are angry or go away. Later, when the anger has subsided, reflect thrice and then mete out appropriate punishment. 13, when the need arises to hit, do not use a heavy stick or fist. Do not kick or slap the child in the face. Also, do not hit on the head. Number 14, teach children the full names of their parents and grandparents as well as their addresses. Now and then, ask them so that they remember. The benefit of this is that, Allah forbid, should they get lost, they will be able to state their identity to the one who finds them. In this way, they will be returned home. 15, all children and especially those who are studying should be given such nutrition which is good for the brain. Junk food is spiritually and physically harmful to them. 16, when the need arises for girls to leave the home precincts, do not adorn them with jewelry. Number 17, emphasize to girls not to play with boys. The character of both girls and boys will be corrupted by intermingling. Number 18, if a boy from another house comes to your home, instruct the girls to go out of sight, even if the boy is small. 19, if any children come to you, do not take service from them. Treat them like your own children. 20, when a child is obstinate in demanding something, he's stubborn, do not fulfill its demand. A person once made a statement of great wisdom which deserves to be written in gold. He said that if a child requests something, either fulfill the request at that time, or if you have refused the request, then do not fulfill its stubbornness, even if it cries and demands it. If you submit to the child's obstinacy, it will develop this habit.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس قد جاءتكم موعظة من ربكم وهدى ورحمة وشفاء لما في الصدور وهدى ورحمة للمؤمنين صدق الله العظيم. With regard to the Quran Sharif, yesterday also we discussed how great and honorable the Quran Sharif is. In this ayat al-Karima also, Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala explains to us and tells us what the great Quran Sharif is. That Allah is addressing the whole of mankind. Ya ayyuhan nas, O people. So the Quran Sharif is for the whole of mankind. And every ayat that was revealed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam propagated it to everyone. And informed them that what Allah Ta'ala is saying. So Allah Tabaruk wa Ta'ala says that, O people, the whole of mankind, and today it was our duty also, it is our duty that we also propagate the Quran Sharif. And we, the teachings of the Quran Sharif, we make it known to everyone. That is, today we as Muslims, we are so weak, but it was actually our duty that we inform everyone in the world, annas, all the people, that what the Quran Sharif is, what the teachings of the Quran Sharif are, and how we should try and imbibe and bring them into us. So with regard to the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala Himself says, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. A maw'idah, a wa'az has come to you from who? From your Rabb, your creator, your sustainer, your nourisher. He has sent it to you. Just as we explained yesterday, tried to explain that this is our GPS. It is directing us towards Allah Ta'ala, to the pleasure of Allah, to Jannah, to Akhirah. So Allah Ta'ala has sent this directions for us. How to reach Allah Ta'ala? He has sent this directions to us. قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِذَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. It is narrated in a hadith that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, more or less, that I have left two wa'az, two lecturers for you in my ummah. One is a speaking lecturer and one is a silent lecturer. The silent lecturer is the Qabristan. When we go Qabristan, we have to take great, great lessons from there. That everyone we see, they are going there. One time, one buzurg met somebody, a traveler. And the traveler asked him which side, outside of the town, he met him. So he asked him the directions to the town.
So he showed him the directions to the Qabristan. So he went, he came out in the Qabristan. So he said, you bring me wrong direction. He says, no, this is the real town where everyone is coming to stay permanently. They're in the town where people are staying temporarily, like a hotel. They are staying there and then they're coming away. Staying there for a while, coming away. Here they're all staying permanently. This is the real town. So one time, one buzurg went to a king and he told him, you've got a very nice lodge, hotel, a place to stay over at night, lodge. So he says, what do you mean, my palace? He's a lodge. He's a palace. So he says, who's staying here? He says, I'm the king. I'm staying. Before this, who was here? My father. Where is he now? He's gone. Before that, who was there? His father. Where is he? He's gone. So it's just a lodge. This dunya is just a temporary abode. And the real place we're going to stay till the day of Qiyamah will be our qabr. So that is the real place. So this is one, and one poet says, Hazaru Bastia Ujarge. Thousands of inhabited places, towns, have become uninhabited. And today people study history so much, and we study of the Babylonians, we study of the Romans, we study of the Persians, all those things, they know more there. At that time it was such a hustle and bustle and what was happening and everything. But today there is nothing, it's all gone. So this is Hazar Ubastiya Ujarke, Ujarkar Bazjarkar Bazjarkar Bazgay Tujme. There they became uninhabited, speaking to the people in the Qabristan. He says they all have come to live here. So this is the real place where a person is going to stay, the Qabristan. So this is one waad. So when we go Qabristan, it's not really like somebody of ours has passed away. All Muslim brothers, sisters are our people. We're not really to go and make Isal-e-Sawab, but to take a lesson from the Qabristan. Isal-e-Sawab, a person can do from anywhere. Wherever he is, he can read and he can pass the sawabs to them and it reaches them. But going to the Qabristan, we should take a lesson there. We had a good friend, and who in fact was near to us to build our whole masjid, the foundation he had done. And he was like a very big businessman in those days when there were very few millionaires. He was one millionaire. But he was so simple and so Allah conscious. Outwardly you'll never be able to say. He should go to the Qabristan and then he should lie down in the Qabr. The dug qabr, usually they have ready 2-3 qabr, and you should think that one day I'll have to come here. And questioning in the qabr, that also we have to think, what a great lesson, that man rabbuka, who is your rabb? And there it won't be what we knew in our brain or what we learned in kitabs, but it will come out from what was in the heart. That is what will come out. One time, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu something about the qabr, how it will be. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, will I be in my senses? You will be in your full senses. He says this. He says, then I will sort it out. That was Sayyidina Umar. In other words, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man like Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And for people like us, how it will be in the qabr. And as we read in the kitabs, almost for every person, even the righteous and the pious, Munkar and Nakir that come, they come in a very, very frightening way. Yeah, just any ordinary person stops us, we get a shock. And what to say if you have to be interrogated, if you have to be taken in custody, what our condition becomes. And everyone will be taken in there. And then they're going to ask us three simple, outwardly, very simple questions. And that is why also, as we explained yesterday, there is a maqsad of coming in this world, to be able to answer those three questions first. And another five questions on the day of the Qiyamah. And if it was that simple, then it is Allah has done a great favor. He informed us from before. And if it was so easy, who doesn't know? Man Rabbuka, who is your Rabb? Everyone knows. Even many non-Muslims, they're not Muslims, but who you believe in, They will say, God, He's the one, He does everything for us. But there, it will not be that easy. And this is why we are here, myself, all of us, and that we have to get prepared that that the true Rabbuka, Rabb, the one who created you, the one who nourishes and sustains you, the one who you return to. Somebody asked a question to a mufti that is it permissible to have like a provident fund, a old age plan, for example, for the ulama? So he replied and he said, it shows a lack of tawakkul on Allah Ta'ala. A person should trust on Allah Ta'ala. And today for everything we have insurance. So this is what is required, that full conviction and trust may Allah bless us with it. Really, we have to analyze ourselves. حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسِبُوا. Take stock of yourself before your stock is going to be taken. Check ourselves before we are going to be checked out. So in the qabr, it's not going to be so easy. That first of all, do we even think that Allah created me? And today there are so many people who believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. They don't even, many non-Muslims also do believe that Allah is our creator. But today it is being taught to us, to our children. And in the pre-primary it is being taught, it is being put into the minds of the children that we were monkeys, na'uzu billah. And we have come from monkeys. This is what our children are being taught, and how many parents are not conscious of it. And what comes, it is stated in Arabic saying that what you put on in childhood in a child's mind is like what you have written on a rock, on a stone. It doesn't go away, it stays forever. So if they, and we are being taught that our children teach them kalima, teach them the reality, alhamdulillah, Allah reward the brothers, all these adab and etiquette of how to bring up children. Now we think, had we known it at that time, though perhaps we took it very easy. We didn't really pay attention to it. Just like, for example, we make the dua. The dua that oh Allah, resurrect us with Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in Jannah. Put us with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Anyway, it will come inshallah. So, one time, I asked, I remember Haji Ahmad Nahud Asab, he had taught us this dua, to make this dua. So one time, a few years ago, I told him, I still remember that dua, and I make it. He said, I don't make it, I get very frightened to make it. Me and Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Wait. Then he said, yes, we should do it, we should make that dua. But just to think, where? So we make the dua, but if we check ourselves, where are we? To be with Nabi alayhi salatu alayhi salatu alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahu Akbar. The highest level. But we don't think what we are saying or what we are doing is like casual. So even like who Allah Ta'ala is, that first question in the qabr, marfa'uka, that who is the one who created you? Who is the one who sustained you? Today we believe our money sustains us. We believe our job sustains us. We believe our shop sustains us. My parents sustain me. My children look after me. They see to everything, to everyone. Today, how many old people, the husband tells the wife, if you're not there, what will happen to me? You see to every need of mine. And the wife says, if you're not there, what will happen to me? You look after me. But really, that if that iman is there, that Allah is the one, then a person doesn't worry. And Allah Ta'ala makes the intizam also, but to have that yaqeen, that Allah is the one. And there are people like that with that yaqeen. They lose their job, they're not worried. Allah is there. And very surprising, to me at least, many people who we think they are like non-Muslims, but they lose their job, they say, no, he's there, he created me, he is going to look after me. Many of these, they are beggars like that. And they come to the house and beg, and you tell them, sorry or whatever, they say, no, he's there, he'll look after me. He created me and he'll look after me. So that tawakkul on Allah Ta'ala. And we learn that lesson, Allahu Akbar. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. From animals we've got a lesson. Which shops they got, which factories they got, which profession they got. And they got nothing. They got no pantry, no deep freeze, nothing. But how they make tawakkul on Allah Ta'ala. And they all loving, carrying on. According to what Allah has set for them, their life, they carrying on and they living and they get their ruzi. For example, you see a stray cat. Where's the stray cat going to get food? And you think, okay, let me put something. Or you say, I haven't got anything. But they find a stray dog. They find all their food. Allah Ta'ala is Rabb. So that yaqeen of Rabbul Alameen, Rabb. So that is also a whole subject of its own, and which we have to not only talk about, ponder, bring it within us. We are so much, so desperately in need of that. And that will be the first question in the Khabar, that who is your sustainer? Today, little problem, we get so panicked, we are struck with panic. We don't know what's going to happen now, how it's going to happen, what we're going to do. But to have this yaqeen, and that is the first thing that we have to learn for ourselves and teach our children also. Then, ma deenuka, what is your deen? Your way of life. What is your way of life? How much of Islam have we got on our outside? Which is, to some extent we can say, that is in my control. That it is in, but the inside, how much have we really got that love of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam? We see the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allahu Akbar. We can't imagine that there were such people. They 100% they were there. They were those people. What the people who surpassed the malaika also. And each one of them, what Allah Ta'ala has blessed it. So that inside also, how much of Islam have we got in us? And how will we be able to reply in the Qabr? That my deen is Islam. That I lived according to Islam. If we have to check ourselves, Alhamdulillah, that is tawfiq, we are in namaz. But in namaz, are we out of the masjid perhaps? How many of us? We might be, Alhamdulillah, going for Umrah every year also. But in Makkah Sharif, are we in Makkah Sharif? Are we somewhere else? Allah forgive us. The TVs are there now, right in the haram itself, with the cell phone. We are worried about soccer matches and cricket matches and the scores, balls, etc. How much have we got of Islam when we are right in the haram of Makkah, right in the haram of Medina Sharif? And that is not talking of anyone else, but for our own self, what our condition is. And then, مَا تَقُولُ فِي حَقِّ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Various words come. What do you say about Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Will we be able to recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The question is also that in the Qabr, we will have to recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of Qiyamah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have to recognize us. Will he recognize us? So many people will come, Allah may have mercy upon us out of His infinite kindness and mercy, that it will be said to how many people, sohkan, sohkan, that you go away from here, you go away from here. They went away from the ways of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Today when we go to Rozae Mubarak, we are very happy. We are reading Salatu Salam. May Allah accept from all of us, from all the Zaireen. But whether it's accepted or not, we don't know. And if we think also, sometimes the thought should come to me, to us all, that Allah is watching me. All the time the thought should. But then we should think, is Allah happy with me or is He angry with me? Allah is watching me, there is no doubt. He's watching everyone. But is He happy with me or is He angry with me? We should be concerned about that. So all this is one lecturer. It's a silent lecturer, but a very, very loud lecturer. The silence is so loud. And that should affect us. Today, there are some of us who don't even go to Qabristan. Even when there's janazas, we don't go. Allah forgive us and this is the right of a Muslim brother. Then there are others of us who do go. But then, how many times announcements have to be made for silence? That please keep quiet, silence in there, respect the janazah. And in there also, Lord, how much talking carries on. And not softly, and sometimes loud laughing also carries on. So right there also, where that was now perhaps the time, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is famous, when he should go to a qabr, he should cry so much. People should say that the remembrance of other things, other serious things, qiyamah, etc., you don't cry so much. But qabr, you cry so much. He says there is the first stage of the akhirah. Who passes here will pass all the other stages. And how will that be the qabr for me, for all of us? We have to always think about this. And really, Allah bring that reality. Our nafs stops us from all this. Just we want to do this, we want to do that, we want to be happy with this. And we don't think that what is that. And those people who strive for their Allahu Akbar, their whole lives, how they gave it for Allah Ta'ala. We so weak that we just to make ourselves happy for our little whatever, that one cup tea that I want, this I want, our samosas we can't give up, our pies we can't give up. So all this year we have to prepare. So that is a great lecture to visit the Qabristan. And we find that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, in fact, according to some riwayat, it was his normal practice to go at night to the Qabristan. And he should go there and he should visit the Qabristan. And Allah's Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. But we, how much don't we have to? And every one of us, myself, all of us, we are so deeply in need of it. So that is one lecturer. Another lecturer is the Quran Sharif. And it is a speaking lecturer. And it speaks to us. So now, inshallah, we'll have Maulana Ridwan. He'll give us a bayan from the Quran. And he will be speaking to us and giving us the bayan, inshallah.